If you've tripped over a toy in somebody's living room lately, there's a pretty good chance it was a Hoberman sphere. The version you get at Toys R Us is made of fluorescent plastic, tightly folded into an ingenious spiky ball. And when you pull out the interlocking segments, the Hoberman sphere opens up into this big, perfect ball, three times its original size. Well, it turns out this is a very useful feature for scientists. As part of our series on science and creativity, Lou Olkowski talked to the artist and engineer who gave the sphere his name.
Do you remember the opening sequence to The Jetsons? George zips around in his flying saucer, and when he arrives at work, he hops out, pushes a button, and thanks to the magic of animation, the flying saucer folds up into a small briefcase, no bigger or heavier than a modern-day laptop. Chuck Hoberman's inventions are just like that.
And that's kind of been my whole mission in life, is to make things that transform, that change size and change shape.
He calls it transformable design.
It's our gallery area, and I'll show you some of the structures that I've built over the years.
As he gives me a tour of his studio, he reminds me of a magician.
Stand back.
What is this?
Chuck takes out this very ordinary stack of foam core.
Okay, stand back.
And as easily as a magician might pull a tablecloth out from under a set table.
Wow, you just put that up.
It's a folding wall.
Chuck's designed all kinds of objects. Practical things like folding chairs and strollers, museum exhibits and toys. Size is no object. He's designed stents to hold arteries open and a tent the size of a studio apartment that can fold down to the size of a small fridge. Plus, everything Chuck designs unfolds in a mesmerizing way.
This is a model of a retractable dome that I call the iris dome because it moves like the iris of an eye.
He's showing me a model of an expanding dome.
It looks like a blooming flower, I think.
There is something about a certain quality of movement that really captures people's attention. It's because we're mammals. This thing sort of like evokes something and we all watch it.
He says the secret is math.
It's a way of making the kind of the pleasure of mathematics, which is kind of in this rarefied realm, but it makes it immediate so that you can feel it and you kind of just get it.
A lot of people got it with the Hoberman sphere, which is Chuck's most famous invention, a foldable ball that expands to three times its size. There's a giant 18-foot version at the Liberty Science Center in New Jersey.
Kids would absolutely freak when the sphere opened and closed. I mean, they would scream, they would jump. I always remember, seeing a sphere expand and just seeing a girl kind of like just topple backwards, like directly, just like, wow!
Before any of these inventions, Chuck was an artist who incorporated movement into his sculpture. The artist, Vito Acconci, asked him to build installations for a piece called Decoy for Birds and People. In it, several 50-foot ladders, connected by cables and pulleys, were balanced like seesaws on the windowsills of the gallery. The idea was that as you pulled on one ladder, the others would rise and fall, releasing the sound of cuckoo birds and clocks.
So there were a lot of mechanics. It was big, and it barely worked for the opening. In fact, what happened was you pulled on the things, and it just got stuck. And I thought to myself, what am I going to do? I better study engineering.
Chuck's joking, but he did go to Columbia University to major in mechanical engineering, and he ended up working at a small robotics company. And even though he loved his job, he was itchy to make art again. By then, it was the early 1980s, and everyone was really into the first Macintosh computers.
People were obsessed with Macintosh icons, how you can make 16 pixels look like a paintbrush and all of this. And I got this idea of like, well, what about three-dimensional pixels? Okay, what's a three-dimensional pixel? It has to be on and off. So on as it's there and off as it disappeared.
Right. Sculpture that can disappear.
Oh, well, I can't really make something disappear, can I?
No. But he could fold three-dimensional shapes out of paper. And if he folded them small enough, they'd almost disappear. So we started building origami models out of paper and scotch tape.
And in fact, the whole idea of this sort of three-dimensional pixel display was soon discarded as being like, horribly impractical. But the process of creating pop-up shapes had taken on a life of its own.
Chuck says creating those origami pixels was the smartest thing he ever did. It got him a meeting at NASA and eventually led to the invention of the Hoberman sphere. Not too long ago, he got a letter from someone who wanted to blast his toy sphere into outer space.
I was concerned that, you know, this might be a very eccentric person, but the return address was the Naval Research Laboratory, and it was certainly a well-written letter.
And Paul Bernhardt, who wrote that letter, is completely serious. He needs to calibrate the radar systems that study electromagnetic disturbances in the upper atmosphere. It's called space weather, and it's to blame for some pretty petty annoyances here on Earth.
If you're trying to listen to a signal from a satellite and there's some disturbance in the ionosphere, you know, then your cable TV goes out or something, you get upset over that.
So we need something in space, an object in a fixed orbit, to bounce radar off of. Apparently, there's nothing up there that can do the job.
There's the space station, there's space shuttles, but there's one thing wrong with those objects is they're not regular objects. They're funny shaped. What we wanted to put was a round thing. You know, and round things have a nice property that no matter what direction you look at it, it looks the same.
At first, Paul thought he could put a high-tech inflatable balloon up there, but that wouldn't work. The atmosphere would cause drag, and the balloon would fall to Earth.
Which is sort of a big waste. You know, a rocket costs someone, I don't know, maybe, you know, a few, $20 million or something for a rocket.
Then a colleague of his at Cornell University, a guy with kids, said, "What about that toy sphere?" And it turns out the Hoberman sphere is perfect for the job.
Because it's mainly holes. And so the atmospheric drag is really almost gone. It's going to actually look quite exciting. Everything is going to be gold-plated, and it's going to be very, almost like a Fabergé egg in space, in orbit.
I never really thought it was, you know, destined for that. I thought it was a way cool piece of geometry. I want my designs to be cool. I want that wow factor. I like making things that are beautiful, but much more important to me right now is, are they useful?
Did anything top having a Hoberman sphere in space?
You know, a giant operable roof over a stadium probably would top having a Hoberman sphere in space. I don't know by how much, but...
For Studio 360, I'm Lou Olkowski.
You can see some pictures of Chuck Hoberman's inventions, including his collapsible tent and the incredible expanding Hoberman sphere, at studio360.org. Coming up, a musician struggles to depict his broken New Orleans.
People kept saying, "Are you hearing music?" I said, "No, man. It's so massive. The only thing I could hear was silence."
Terrence Blanchard's Requiem for His City. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us. This is it, I'm done.